health, wellness, fitness, relationships, and everything in between. We're removing the taboo from what really matters in midlife. I'm your host, Michelle Folan, and this is Asking for a Friend. Welcome to the show, everyone. We have a really fun podcast today. We all remember the cherished children's book, Goodnight Moon. Well, today we have the author of the newly published parody, Goodnight Night Sweats. The illustrator, her name is Mina Paws, also known as Jessie Hartland, and she is an internationally known artist who's designed store window displays, cookie tins, and oodles of other things. She's written and illustrated over 20 books for children and adults, including Bon Appetit, The Delicious Life of Julia Child, and Steve Jobs' Insanely Great. Jessie lives in New York City, where her mood swings from the east side to the west side. I had to introduce her because I think that's so cute. The author is Hope Flash, also known as Brenda Bowen. She is the award-winning author of the novel for adults Enchanted August and over 40 books for children. She was formerly a children's book editor and children's publisher at SNS, Disney Book Group, and Holt, and is now a literary agent at the Book Group. She lives in New York City, where she wakes every morning at 4:15 a.m. with all the blankets on the floor. And boy, does that sound familiar.
Very true.
Welcome to Asking for a Friend, Brenda Bowen.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm really, really happy to be here.
Well, congratulations on your delightful book. Goodnight Moon was a favorite here at our house. And Goodnight Night Sweats is just so well done. And I think, personal opinion, it's a great gift for, say, a sister or a good friend who's going through perimenopause or menopause. So kudos.
Absolutely. I'm so happy to hear you say that because this is for all the sisters out there. Whether you are approaching menopause or in it or through it, I hope tickle a funny bone.
Absolutely. I am kind of curious how you and Jessie joined forces to write Goodnight Night Sweats. How do you know each other and what did that process look like?
Yeah, let me tell you about that. Well, I am a writer and Jessie's an artist. And so the two things happen separately, but then we collaborate once the ball is rolling. So my colleagues at work are all in sort of 40s and approaching 50s stage. And I'm the elder stateswoman there. And we sort of challenged ourselves to find books about menopause. We're literary agents. So our job is to find good books and to get them to publishers. And I usually concentrate on children's books. And they said, well, what are you going to do? And I started thinking, well, I could do a Goodnight Moon parody, Goodnight Sweats. And then it was Goodnight Night Sweats. So I wrote it. And then I thought, wouldn't it be great to collaborate with Jessie? Because I've worked with Jessie in other capacities. She's a wonderful artist. She has such a fanciful style, but it's very thoughtful at the same time. She's got her own set of experiences with menopause, as did I. And we brought them all to bear on the book. And now we have something that we hope will be a great gift for all the women going through this.
The illustration is really cute and it pairs up so nicely with your writing. And I don't want to gush too much, but I thought it was just really cute. I know you're like, go ahead.
Yeah, gush.
Yeah. But I do want to know kind of what your thoughts were after you wrote it. What were you hoping that your readers would get out of the book?
Well, when I wrote it, even just about a year and a half ago when it started, there were even fewer books about menopause than there are now. And there was nothing really lighthearted. There's so much now about pregnancy and girlfriend's guides and all different ways of approaching that. But there's still very little on menopause. So I thought it would be great to have something to give a release to all the difficult challenges of going through the stage of life. And with the help of my wonderful editors at Zando, the publisher, we elevated the ending of the sort of turning point of the book when the character begins to think, well, you know what? There's some good things that go with getting older. There's wisdom. There's relief from childcare because your kids are growing up. There's the possibility of travel. There's maybe a spare room in the house. So we wanted to both acknowledge and celebrate what the stage of life is like for people, for women.
You know, this is really more of a comment, but do you think that we need to have a bit of a sense of humor about menopause? It's like, what else can they throw at us, right?
So, I know.
But just to have a little bit of humor about it, because you point some things out in the book about tweezers and other things that it's really not the best part of menopause, but we all go through it.
Yeah, I think we have to have both. We have to look at it square in the face, as it were. We have to have more knowledge about it and more research about it. And then we also have to bring some good humor to it, as we do to all aspects of being female. And there are a lot of things that get thrown at us all our whole lives. Yeah.
We all have that one friend that went through menopause totally unscathed. And then they're somewhere in the middle. And then there are those people, those women who really, really took it on the chin in menopause, mm-hmm. like had a hard time mm-hmm. even going to work, you know, really had some debilitating, you know, effects of menopause. I'm kind of curious what your menopause journey was like.
Well, it was not as eventful as those extremes. I was mostly in the gosh, it's hot in here category. And a lot of body changes, you know, a lot of metabolism changes that I'm still experiencing, you know, all those things that you could do so easily, like even your joints moving and stuff like that, that changes. And I have red hair, so redheads tend to, the gray doesn't show as much. So I went to my hair cutter one time and I said, well, I'm lucky not to have much gray or any gray. And he said, oh yeah, you've got a ton right under here. So he lifts up my
nothing like being honest.
My hair at my temples. Yeah. And he says, you've got a ton. So, you know, there's that. There's just the difficulty of your period stopping. And then I did have experiences of those giant flooding events with menstrual blood. And that was pretty bad in public. And you have to like tie your jacket around your waist, like you're back in eighth grade.
Oh yeah.
Ninth grade. And yeah. And there's no like saying to the room, hey guys, I'm experiencing, you know, a hot flash. I'm experiencing, although now we do. In fact, in the UK, there's been a lot of talk about menopause lately. And there's legislation about that has been passed or is being passed about allowing time at work off and acknowledging it and saying things are going to change. And, you know, this is the price you pay for having babies brought into the world. You've also got to acknowledge that women go through this stage of their lives too.
Well, and also, this is our most experienced segment of the workforce. Why wouldn't we be accommodating to these women who bring so much wisdom and experience to the table? And I know what you're talking about. So I know in the UK, they were even talking about offering special dispensations such as fans at the desk workplace and those types of things. Because I think it was some crazy statistic, like 40% of women were thinking of quitting their jobs because their menopause symptoms were making it so difficult to work. And I know last week there was some legislation signed here in the US. I know it was something that Joe Biden had been championing, but it was something last week. But I think when we look at, say, the Drew Barrymores of the world and Oprah, and this week there's South by Southwest. I know mm-hmm. there's a whole section on women and menopause. And
amazing.
Yeah. So I think the word's getting out there and it's becoming a topic that people are just more comfortable talking about.
Yes, finally. Yes. And I think it's because the generation who's now perimenopausal and menopausal, they're the ones whose mothers were finally able to talk about getting their periods and what it's going to be like to get pregnant and like sexual activity before and during marriage. And like those things are discussed now. Mm-hmm. And when even I'm sort of 10 years out from when I started menopause, my mother certainly didn't talk about that. And I know she had a terrible time during menopause, but I only know that because I look back and I figure out the dates and I think, oh, that's when she was incredibly depressed. And that's when she was like reclusive. And like, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. She's three daughters and none of us really picked up on it and she couldn't talk about it. But I do think that that's changing now. That's why it's in the conversation. That's why it's in the Congress and it's in the British Parliament, and it will spread and spread. The fact that we have to acknowledge this as just a natural and inevitable part of life. If you're still alive, you're going to go through it.
Yeah. And I believe I knew when my mom was going through menopause. She was just moody, and there was all some of those typical symptoms that we're aware of now. I think it was more a hindsight type of thing, saying, mm-hmm. like what you were saying, you can kind of pinpoint the time when those behaviors started. So, and you know, I hope that my daughters, I have two daughters, I hope that they have what to expect when you're expecting. I hope by the time they go through this, that there's some wonderful resource book mm-hmm. that everybody mm-hmm. gets, you know, when they start yeah. going through yeah. perimenopause.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You made a comment about having these horrible periods. And I wanted to add this because I've never really mentioned this on the show. I had that same issue. And I told my doctor that I was having all these issues. And so I went and had ablation done, which is, you know, they can do it in the office now. When I had it done, I had outpatient. But what a life-changing experience that was for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there are things that you can do for those things now that there weren't before. But I just wanted to mention
that. You don't just have to wrap your jacket around your waist.
Or just pray and never wear white pants ever again.
Well, I'll say that's actually in the book, White Pants. We say hello to white
yeah,
pants in the book.
That's right. I forgot about that. Since the two of you had worked on this wonderful book, Good Night, Night Sweats, are you having more conversations with friends and family about menopause just organically now?
I actually found myself having these conversations with the youngest cohort in our office who are in their 20s and 30s, and former colleague of mine who was so eager for the information and so curious about what I had gone through, what others had gone through. And they're really cheering on this book because they really do want to be prepared and they want to know. So I think it has begun to open up conversations with people that I wouldn't normally be talking about menopause with at all, which is great. And I think that men will get out of this something too, because are a little bit like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I think they're more like that when they're younger than when they get older and they've been around women for longer. But I just think that it's a good way in if you're having trouble talking to your spouse or your partner about what you're going through. You can say, well, look, this will take you not very long to read and study the words and the pictures, and then let's talk, honey.
There's nice big pictures.
There's nice big pictures, and there's only about 150 words, so I think you can manage this.
You know, I didn't even think about that when I was preparing for this podcast, but I see this as a really good resource for men.
I think it is. It's a quick read. They'll get all they need to know, and then they can ask any questions they want.
Stocking stuffer Christmas.
Exactly. Here, honey.
I love it. Would you want to read a few pages of the book?
Sure. I would love to.
Okay.
Should I show it or should I just read it?
I'll just read it. I'm going to post the actual picture of the book on my social media when I do the podcast.
Okay. In the hot, hot room, there was a creaky fan and a swinging mood and a picture of me when I was still in bloom. And there were two flat boobs and three little lubes and bones like fine china and a dry vagina and a pair of tweezers and a sweet old geezer. That's her partner. And a neck and a tush and a thinning bush and a middle-aged lady who's yelling, if I wake up drenched in sweat again tonight, I swear to God I will kill someone. Yeah. But on the bright side, good night, kids' room. There's a picture of her enjoying the spare room. Good night, gloom. Good night, me, while still in bloom. Good night, winged pads and my dear old womb. Good night, dyeing the gray and bizarre lingerie. Good night, cramps. Good night, stained pants. Good night, bones like fine china. And really good night, vagina. goodnight IUD and choosing plan B, goodnight period stress and PMS, goodnight everybody, and goodnight regrets, and goodnight to the hot in a good way lady calling, hi there day, hello fresh air, hello women everywhere.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Perfect little book. I have to ask this question because I think you all had a little nuances with the illustration. Did you guys hide something?
We did.
In the book that was meaningful? Can you explain what that was?
Yeah, we have a couple little Easter eggs in the book. One of them is that there's a picture, there's a painting on the wall of one of the rooms in the book of an orca. And the reason that we put in an orca is that it turns out that current scientific thought believes that only orcas and a couple other dolphin species go through menopause as well as human beings. And what happens to everybody else, do you wonder? All the other animals in the animal kingdom? Well, once they can't breed anymore, they're considered extraneous, and that becomes the end of their life. Oh my God. So only orcas and humans? I know. Isn't that terrible? But it just shows how we've evolved into needing to be around in the world after menopause, after we don't breed anymore. We're still a very important part of the human race, and other animals are not. We found that absolutely fascinating.
Well, and let's think about this. If you go back where women were only living to be 30, 35 years old, they never had an opportunity to go through menopause. So
Yeah, so many people did.
This is relatively a new phenomena, say, of the last 150 years that women are actually experiencing.
Well, with so many women living longer now, absolutely. That's absolutely true.
So speaking of books, I would love to know what you have on your nightstand currently, because I always think authors always have an inside track to really good books.
Okay, great. Thank you. I just finished a book called The Gunkle, which is by Stephen Rowley, and it is about a gay uncle of a niece and a nephew who suddenly and unexpectedly has to take care of them for the summer. And it is both funny and hilarious and charming and moving. So I recommend that one. I am just about to, and I'm in the middle of a book called Horse by Geraldine Brooks, which is about a racehorse who was sort of the king of all racehorses just before the Civil War. And it jumps back between the Civil War, current day, different voices. It's complicated and really interesting book. And I'm looking forward next to reading So Late in the Day by Claire Keegan. She's an Irish writer. She writes very sort of compressed, jewel-like stories about people in contemporary Ireland, situations between men and women. So I'm pretty much of a fiction reader. I know Jessie is a big nonfiction reader, and she reads a lot about women in the arts and women in history. And I think she really brings it to bear in the illustrations, just sort of the intelligence behind the illustrations. You can see how she thinks in those.
Well, I have book club tonight, and we're getting close to that time when we have to start picking books for our next, season. And so I'll make sure that I'll suggest a couple of those. Horse was one that was an option for this past round of books.
There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, but Gunkle's one. I'm going to put that one definitely on.
That's a lot of fun.
I would also like to know, what is one of your important pillars of self-care? I ask every guest this.
Well, I actually, just before this interview, I was at PT because I'm finding that my knee is having issues. So I try to make sure I go, and then I do the exercises that they tell me to do. I like to do yoga. It feels very good for my body and very calming for my mind. And I like to get a good night's sleep. That's really important to me. And so I'm a sort of 7 to 8 hour a night kind of person. And I asked Jessie this question myself, the illustrator, and she said she goes for very long walks every day. And that's true. So I often try to reach her, and She's out walking when I'm trying to call her, but she talks while she's on the phone too. But actually she likes to spend a lot of time just looking around. So she keeps the conversation short and just concentrates on her surroundings.
Yeah. I think that's kind of a nice thing to do. Just it keeps you very observant of your environment, and then you actually see things that maybe you hadn't noticed before.
Exactly.
That's nice. When it comes to the sleep and the stress reduction with the yoga, I think that's something all women need to probably focus on. You know, we have the higher levels of cortisol, which is related to some of that midsection weight gain that we get. But yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges is trying to manage some of that anxiety and stress. And sometimes it just comes from nowhere and somewhat unexplained. So thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
And then where can people find you and the book? I'd love for you to share.
Well, you can find the book starting on March 26th, anywhere you buy books. And we believe in quite a few gift stores too, because we see this as a gift book. And you can go to zandoprojects.com to find out more about Jesse and my real lives, even though we're called Oat Flash and Menopause on the book. So I think that's the best place to go.
All right. Brenda Bowen, I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Michelle. I had a great time talking about goodnight night sweats and about menopause. Thank you.
Follow Asking for a Friend on social media outlets and provide a review and share this show wherever you get your podcasts. Reviews and sharing help us grow.